This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
One of my favourite pastimes, apart from being on Joy, is going to see some lovely live theatre shows. And this guy was the lead last year in Dirty Dancing. He played Johnny Castle, who was, of course, the lead in the movie by Patrick Swayze. And on stage, it was fantastic. He can move, he can act. Welcome to Joy, Kurt Phelan.
It's a pleasure to be here. Hello.
Welcome back to Joy. Because I was trying to remember the last time you were at Joy was probably in March last year.
You know what? Facebook, you know the time hop thing?
Yes.
It was telling me that it was exactly on Tuesday, it was a year.
Really?
That opening night was. So that means that we were here a year, pretty much a year ago.
A year ago, and you're back.
Yeah. I like the time.
Exactly. So I guess we'll talk more about Dirty Dancing as the show goes on, but you're a Queensland boy.
I am a Queensland boy. Far
you
North
grew
Queensland.
And is it Townsville?
Well, yeah, I grew up in Townsville, but I was born an hour south in a little place called Ayr. Which is, no one knows.
Right. No
it's
one knows
A-Y-R. That's why I say Townsville. It's just easier.
So what was your childhood like?
Pretty
rough and ready.
Yeah. Look, it was good. I had really awesome, like my dad's a diesel mechanic and my mum does lunch, and they had this son who wanted to do musicals and be Gene Kelly, and they never tried to stop me. It was great.
Was that weird being a young guy in a country town and you want to do like dancing and acting and stuff?
Oh yeah. I still get people at home that are like, oh yeah, cool. So what are you doing? Like you're still acting, but what are you doing? I'm like, no. I'm the lead of a musical. That's all I do. And they've come to see Dirty Dancing and they're like, so where are you living when you're in town, or how are you earning money? You're like, no, this is my job. This is what I do. It's people still find it hard up there. It's kind of strange. It's that baby boomer generation that's kind of...
Speaking of baby boomers, your first role was age 3. What did you play again?
I played a leprechaun. Yes, I played an Irish leprechaun. My dad stipulation, because I'm from a big Irish Catholic family, was if my son wants to dance, he has to learn Irish dancing.
Right.
So I went off to Irish dancing with my sister, who was 8 years older, and I ended up being pretty bloody good at it. And I was a leprechaun at 3, and all the girls were cast a spell by an evil frog, and they fell asleep. And then the leprechaun came and drove the frog away and woke them all up.
Oh, fantastic. My special guest, co-host this morning is Kurt Phelan. He, of course, played Johnny Castle in Dirty Dancing last year. Kurt, before the break, we're talking about your first role as a 3-year-old, as a leprechaun.
A unicorn. Well, you never know.
Now, you trained in NIDA.
Yes.
In 2008, which is, of course, the famous art sort of college school thing. And I think, wasn't Nicole Kidman's gone there?
Kate Blanchett, Mel Gibson, Judy Davis.
What was your experience like going to NIDA?
Well, I was a bit older, so I'd gone and done a heap of musicals first, and then I went back and I was 25. So I was in there with a lot of people who were 19, 20, and I had heard that I was going to be destroyed and brought back to life in third year. But it actually was really stunning. It was amazing. And I understand how it can be quite full on for younger people, because it's you're there.
It's full on.
Yeah, you're there from pretty much like 9 till 9. Every night, and if you've got productions later, and it's intense. But I learned so much about not even about acting. Like, yes, I did an acting degree, but I learned so much about dramaturgy and how to make shows for myself, and what color, how color is stupid things. We had a class on color, and I'm walking and going, "What are we doing?" But it's about, you know, how red's perceived in different nations, and you know, for Spanish it's passion, for French it's love. And yeah, it was really fascinating to even if I didn't act for another day of my life when I graduated, I was a better person for going through that. It was pretty great.
Because you've been in so many shows over the years. Singing in the Rain, age 18.
Yes.
Priscilla, where you were wearing your dancing in a leather G-string.
Yes.
Was that quite confronting?
Well, it was, first of all, it was backless chaps.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was in the
video. I tried to find these pictures last night, Kurt. I couldn't find them anywhere.
I've got some on my phone. Okay. So, yeah, first of all, the costume for Venus, we were all in leather and it was like whips and chains and we were the dancing boys. And the costumes were, yeah, you know, the jockstrap kind of at the back underneath. And then we realized that we were on all fours for most of the dance because it was Ross Coleman choreography, who's a Melbourne man but no longer with us. He's an amazing choreographer. And yeah, and we're on all fours, and the backstage crew was like, "Whoa, you gotta pack that up." So then they got us G-strings instead. Dear. So yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Now, Kurt, you've been doing theatre for a long time. If you were doing a show, say the cast of Dirty Dancing, and say, "Well, tonight, bugger it, we're going to be 3 hours late on stage," what would happen?
I'm pretty sure you'd get fired and never work again. I suppose are people paying $850 for these tickets?
Or? Well, of course, we were talking about Madonna last night. And I had a few friends that were there.
Yep.
Those lucky bitches. Anyway, one of them was my gorgeous friend, Nat, who not only saw Madonna live last night, but also met her manager. Ooh. Good morning, Nat.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Hi, Nat.
No, Nat, last night was a bit of a...
I'm a bit tired, sorry. You'll have to forgive me.
That's all right, but it was a bit of a shambles last night because apparently she's going to be on stage at 9 o'clock, but the doors opened just before midnight. Was that right?
Yeah, well, I got to the Forum Theatre about 12:30, 1 o'clock, because I didn't win tickets. I was a plus one, and the person that won the tickets, Hassan, he had already started lining up earlier in the day, and they said, "Oh, they're writing numbers on the hand, so, you know, like, come in early." I'm like, "Oh, okay, fine." But, you know, like, whatever. So he was, like, about, I think he was 27 or so in line, and then...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so, you know, I saw a couple of people in line that I knew, and so they were about 40, so, you know... So by the time I, you know, got my number and everything and I went to the back of the line, I was, you know, like 63 or something like that. So, like, that was fine. You know, waited in line for a little while, talked to some randoms, you know, talked to friends, whatever that was. Then it started raining. I'm going back to the car. So I sat in the car for a couple of hours, came back. Like, the thing is, yeah, because I drove, so I was like, well, okay, at least I could go and do that. The poor people that were waiting in the rain and didn't have an umbrella or anything, I guess that's the luck to take.
Was there any idea that she was going to be late, or people just said, just hold out, she'll be here eventually?
Do you know what, though? I think if I had known that she was going to come, like, the doors were going to open at midnight, I probably would have rocked up at 7 o'clock or something, because by the time the doors had actually opened, I came back into line, it might have been about 5, 5:30, something like that, because I thought, okay, I have a number, I've made friends with the people around me, but I can kind of just imagine people, you know, having, you know, pushing in, you know, type things, and, you know, I didn't really want to turn up last minute, I didn't really think that was...
Because you met the manager as well, didn't you? You met Guy.
I did, yeah. He came out and he was taking selfies with people and, he was just, like, chatting to the fans and everything. I should have asked him about that.
Now, you were inside the venue and, of course, you were there. I saw the track list this morning. Now, the tracks that she performed on the show last night were quite obscure tracks, but there was some old stuff like Borderline, Holiday, Don't Tell Me. Was it a bit of a rough performance? It was a bit of a work in progress, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, she said it was a work in progress, but apparently the rumour was, and, you know, and this is kind of, you know, it gets like Chinese whispers, things start going down the line, that she was rehearsing up until the last minute. And by that stage, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning when she finally came on stage, I'm like thinking, oh, I would have just... What did I get?
But did you have fun, Nat? Did you have fun, darling?
I did. I had so much fun. Once she actually came on stage and the adrenaline kicked in again. Yeah, like, it was amazing. I started off, like, right down on the fence line. But I was just so hot. I was so tired and everything. I ended up going up the back. I actually think I had a better view up the back because I could see the projections and stuff like that. So I was right on the corner, right on the fence sort of thing, so I kind of had the speakers and all that sort of partly blocking my view.
Was it a cabaret show, or was it a performance art, or did she just do like a rock concert, or how did it flow? What was the vibe?
It was like a little bit of everything, you know. She told jokes, she told some, you know, like personal stories. Like there was one about her when she was still married to Sean Penn, you know, like back in the day. I didn't actually know he'd been in jail.
Haven't we all?
No, I'm serious. But I mean, kind of, you know, I would have still been quite young when they were actually, like, when they were married. So she was talking about he'd been in jail, he was in witness protection or something.
And the son as well. She did a song for a son as well, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. I can't even remember what song it was. She
Intervention.
Yeah, she talked about it a little bit, yeah.
Well, Nat, thank you so much for joining us this morning on the phone. You had a great time last night. You're probably going on the weekend, are you? You're going on Saturday night?
I'm going Saturday night, and then I'm doing Sunday night in Sydney.
Oh, well, you're a bit of a mega fan. Now, I know you love Madonna, Nat. One song which she didn't do last night, and you're probably hoping she's going to do on the weekend, is this one from way back in the day. Oh, I love this one. Thanks, Nat.
See you, Nat.
Kurt Phelan is my special guest co-host this morning on the show, of course, star of Dirty Dancing last year. Now, let's talk about Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
Because you had the lead role, which is Johnny Castle, which was made famous in the movie by Patrick Swayze.
Indeed.
So you had to be ripped, you had to be dancing and lifting and stuff. You had a pretty tough role.
Yeah.
Was it as tough as what it looked on stage?
It was... Oh, well, my job is to make it look easy, so yeah. It was probably tougher. look, I've danced since I was 3, as we've spoken about before, but I've never had to dance that hard in my life and then go straight into a scene and pretend that I wasn't just dancing. And, you know, it was really challenging, but I loved it. Patrick Swayze is... I'm such a huge Patrick Swayze fan, and I never thought in a million years I would play a role like that and to be given that opportunity. And the way it was... it's received from everyone. It was like a rock concert sometimes. We had a show stop in Perth because we couldn't actually hear what we were saying, and the audience just wouldn't stop cheering. And I had waited to say Nobody Puts Baby in a Corner, and I'm waiting, and I'm like, it's been a minute. I need to get the show moving on. You know, it was a pretty crazy gig.
And you and Kirby, the lead who played Baby in the show,
yeah, oh, she's awesome. Mm. I mean. She's a terribly...
Kirby Burgess,
Kirby Burgess. She's a terribly unattractive-looking girl, isn't she? She's so beautiful. And she puts that wig on, and you forget that it's Kirby, you know? And then she takes the wig off, and you're like, oh, that's right, you're a gorgeous blonde.
You know? Now, we all know, of course, in the film, it's that big lift. And it's the same lift in the show.
In the show.
It's a bit different. But practicing that lift would have been a bit of a... nightmare at first, right?
It took about a month, of all rehearsals. We were like, let's get the lift, let's do the lift. And the second that...
Because you can't stuff it up.
No, you can't. And we did once, the first preview ever that we did in Australia, and we didn't do it, and it was just not... As soon as that happened, we're like, right, this can't ever happen again. And I mean, what we got it right in rehearsals, but she's in tights and a normal... outfit, rehearsal gear, and then she puts on this slippery satin pink dress, and I'm sweaty. I've danced for 8 minutes, and she's running at me, and you know it's and the music and everything builds to the and you're like, you've got to fight against it. But it ended up... I saw her probably 2 months ago, and we just do the lift. I'm like,
we can just do it now.
Yeah, especially the girl who played Penny, the other girl I danced with. We were down at the beach, and we were like, let's just see if we can do that. Bang, did the
thing. Professionals you got. Now, of course, the end of the first act, you take your top off.
Of
course, you know, you've got to be ripped and everything. And, of course, the diet, you were having chicken and broccoli all the time.
I was. Well, when I got the job, I was I was contracted by ASICS. And so I was actually, I did their global campaign, and I had to go and do all this running, and I was really quite skinny. And I got the job, and they said, right, we need you to get bigger. So I went straight to a trainer at the gym and started working and got on this regime of food. And in the beginning, I was eating about 8 times a day, and four or five of those were chicken, broccoli, and rice. And I got chicken rage. I threw a piece at the wall once, and, you know. But I put on 15 kilos in 10 weeks, and then I obviously had to trim back, and I kind of was about 10 kilos heavier than I was previously before. And so just to kind of, because the show is so full on, I would lose about, sometimes I'd lose 7 to 8 kilos in a week just from all the exertion. Yeah. And so I had to just eat like crazy, but I couldn't eat all whatever I wanted because I still had to have abs. So
no chocolate, no wine, no champagne.
No, dark chocolate, lots of dark chocolate and protein shakes.
I'm talking before the break about dirty dancing, and we've got a couple of fan questions here from Joanne, of course, loves theatre.
Hey, Jo.
So, hi, Joanne.
Shout out to Jo.
Thank you for your email. Now, she wants to know the highlights of your career so far.
Oh, well, Dirty Dancing, obviously, and coming into Joy.
Yes. It's very joyful.
Yes.
And the best thing about Dirty Dancing.
I think the best thing about Dirty Dancing was finally getting a chance to do, because as an artist, sometimes you know what you're capable of, but you don't really get a chance to do it a lot because you have to get given the job by someone else. And I finally got a chance to show Australia what I can do, and before it's too late and I'm in a wheelchair with broken knees.
It also gives you the platform to do new things.
Yeah, and meeting new people and fans. So that was another great thing too.
Leads me to the next phase. Of course, you're doing your own show called, this is quite clever, Feeling Groovy.
Yeah, that's me. Well, look, as a kid, I imagine growing up and you're dancing, you dance and you sing and you're in a country North Queensland town and your last name's Feeling. You know, how you feeling. All of these heckles have now turned into quite excellent. My nickname is Feeling It. That's what everyone calls me or my friends. Kurt Feeling It.
Fantastic.
So that's why Feeling Groovy kind of came about.
And it sort of accesses all areas off stage and on stage. It's a bit of a piss take, bit of comedy happening.
Yeah, totally. It's you know, the old fashioned roast that they used to do with Brat Pack. It's that, but reinvented to a new genre and new age. I learnt at a young age to only say about 10% of what I think, and so this is the other 90%.
Fantastic. And what's got music as well? You're doing songs from theatre?
There's a few theatre songs, but there's a lot of pop songs that have been rejigged. Like, for example, I do Royals, but I do it as my pitch for Prime Minister. Because I decided that wouldn't be awesome if I should just be in charge, because everyone else seems to.
What would you do as Prime Minister? What things would you get through?
Well,
gay marriage, obviously.
Yes. Gay marriage. I would also put through free arts, free school. Everyone would have vending machines in their house of their favourite food, and it would just be free.
Oh, my God. And who would pay for this stuff?
That's not my problem. I would also stop the price of fuel from going up and down, and you'd be able to get a beer for under $5. But yeah, I've changed all the words to Royals to.
And you're doing John Farnham as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I sing "Burn for You."
But lovely.
It's a little bit more about a little problem I had when I was younger, and I first started seeing people, and
which was.
Well, I had a mishap, and, you know, I thought it was love, and then I realized that actually I went to the doctors and I was sent home with some cream, and then I sing the ode to the little.
Right. Okay, so heaps of laughter happening in the show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Feeling
so
groovy.
all of these songs, you think you know them, but then I'm spinning them on their head. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And of course it opens at the gorgeous venue, the Butterfly Club.
Oh, yeah.
Next Tuesday, the 15th of March.
Yes.
Right through until a Saturday, the 19th of March. And if you're listening to this interview and you think, I wouldn't mind going to that. If you go to the website, butterflyclub.com, you can quote the word joy, you'll get a bit of a discount.
You will. Joy. And then you can hang around for a drink after, because the venue's beautiful and that bar is stunning. And I'm going to be there. It's the kind of show, when people arrive, I'm going to be there. I don't want it to be you and me. I want it to be all of us.
Interactive.
Yeah, it's like a lounge room.
Kurt, thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We're about out of time, but thanks for coming in. And have a great show. Feeling Groovy. on next week, and good luck with it all, and come back and see us again.
I'd love to.
All right.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.